I've asked Jasmine to read the text for us. If you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Peter. But as you're turning there, I want to remind us where we've gone, where we've come from in 2 Peter. And as we've walked through this book and we've seen at the beginning of 2 Peter where Christians have been called to live righteous lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. And then we've seen where Christians need to be building on their faith, godly character. And we looked at the burrito analogy of layering on your faith. And then we saw where Christians, this was the last 2 weeks, need to be walking in the power of Jesus, and that Jesus is powerful. He's coming soon. We should be reading his word. And then last week we looked at the church and Christians watching out for false teachers, that false teachers will try to come in to the church and give a false doctrine. And so we're going to pick up in 2 Peter chapter 3. Hopefully you're there now. And Jasmine's going to read that for us now.
2 Peter chapter 3. Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles. Above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, "Where is this coming he promised?" Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But they will deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens came into being and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you be? You ought to live holy and godly lives, as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. The day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and new earth, where righteousness dwells. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the other scriptures, to their own destruction. Therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawless and fall from your secure position, but grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we pray that you would direct us and guide us as we look at it. Lord, as we look at our own lives and we look at how it applies to our lives, Lord, I pray that we would, through this passage, look more and more like your son, Jesus. Lord, that we would live holy, godly lives. Father, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. As we've walked through Peter, we've kind of been given a few of puzzle pieces. And as he's walked through, he's given us a little picture here and there. I found this puzzle, and I really have no idea what it is, actually. Can anybody tell me what this puzzle is? I think the only person would be Candace, because I found it in her office somewhere. But I found this puzzle sitting in Candace's office, and I was like, this is perfect. This is perfect for understanding. If I look at this puzzle, I can see a little bit. I can see some color, but I really have no clue what it is. And I wouldn't have any clue what it is until either one or two things. Either I take all of the puzzle pieces out and I figure out how they all fit together, or I look at the picture that usually comes on the box. That's what I like to do. Jasmine's grandma is like a master puzzle worker. I think that's a real thing, actually. And she loves to make puzzles. And I just like walking over and seeing what the puzzle's supposed to look like and then letting her continue and fix the puzzle. But here in 2 Peter, we've been given lots of puzzle pieces, and then Peter finishes it with the end picture. The end in mind. And I love that Kayla sang that last song, Better Is One Day, because ultimately the end picture is eternity with Jesus. The end picture is us being with Jesus forever. And the world is going to end. And Peter now walks us through, giving us little puzzle pieces, a little bit of the picture here and there. Looking at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. Peter addresses the church. He's talking to Christians as a reminder. And we see Peter addresses them with great care. He says, dear friends. Peter's been writing them. He's writing these people that he loves, that he cares for, that he longs to be with. And he's like, dear friends, these are my people. These are the people I love. He says, I now write my second letter. I've written both of these letters to remind you and to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. So we see Peter is saying, man, I love you guys. And here, the point of these letters is to make you start thinking and to stir you up. It says to stimulate you. And it's this picture of stirring you up to godliness. I like to cook a little bit. And there's one particular soup that I like to cook. And it has all the spices in it. And what's pretty awesome is as that soup's cooking and as it gets a little further in, you can walk over and you can stir it. And when you stir it, you kind of get all those aromas of the soup, and it stimulates the smells. And Peter's writing, he's like, I want to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words that have been spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the commands that have been given to you by your Lord and Savior through the apostles. So Peter, he's not stimulating them to smell good. He's stimulating them to think about and to know and to understand the work and the words of the apostles and the words of the prophets. As I thought about that, I think about so many times growing up in the church, thinking back to stories and accounts that we learned in children's church. And I can remember as I got into like fifth and sixth grade, feeling like I've heard it all. I've heard every story. There's nothing new. And I can remember sitting in class and in children's church and being like, what's this lady going to teach me? And I got the whole thing done. I'm good to go. I know all the stories. I know about Noah. And Peter here is saying, let me stimulate you to think about and to recall the things that you already know, the commands that you've been given by the apostles. I bet sometimes we've thought about that, or we've thought that same way that I did. What else am I going to learn? What else am I going to know? How else am I going to apply this to my life? And my hope is that we would be stimulated to obey and to remember what Peter is teaching us here, and what the apostles and what Jesus taught through the apostles. So Peter, as he walks through, he starts out with loving and caring for the church, for his people. And he gives them, it's kind of broke down into three different parts. As we start to look at this passage, he has the world's response, then he has God's plan, and then he has the Christian's response. So as you take notes, I want you to kind of look at it through those lenses. So we'll start with the world's response. Peter, he says, above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come scoffing, following their own evil desires. So that's in verse 3. And so Peter starts with, look, as you walk this Christian walk, and as you desire to honor God, as you learn from the apostles and as you learn from the prophets, remember, there's going to be scoffers. Remember, there's going to be false teachers. Barry spent one and a half messages this last 2 weeks talking about false teachers. There's going to be false teachers that are going to come in to the church, and they're going to teach a false gospel. Peter was seeing this way back then, and I'm sure that we see this now. I kind of relate it to evil people are going to do evil things. Evil people are going to do evil things. So often, as Christians, we become surprised when people scoff or when false teachers teach falsely. And basically, Peter's like, don't be surprised when evil people do evil things. When the devil uses false teachers to bring in a false gospel. It says here in verse 4, it says that they will say, where is this coming that's promised? Even since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. So Peter even says, this is one of the tactics these evil people are going to use, and these false teachers are going to use, and these scoffers are going to use. They're going to say, look, didn't Jesus promise he was going to return? Where's he at? Where's he at right now? Didn't Jesus say he was going to come back? It's now been a few years. Probably this is AD 68 when this is being written, somewhere right around there. It's now been a number of years. Step flashing behind me. I see lots of people distracted. Hope we get that fixed right now. But Peter is saying that, look, AD 68, sorry, I'm going to get my track. AD 68, it's been 68 years or 60 some odd years before Jesus has returned, and he hasn't returned yet. Isn't he going to come back? And he's like, these false teachers are going to come in and say that obviously he's not. Obviously, you can't trust him. We look back now, 2,000 years later, still looking forward to the hope and putting our faith and our trust that he will return. Looking here at verse 5, he says, but they will deliberately forget that long ago by God's word, the heavens came into being and the earth was formed out of water by water. So Peter then goes on, he says, these false teachers that are coming into the church or coming around you and scoffing, these scoffers that are maybe making fun of the gospel are saying, look, it's not happening yet. It must not be happening. And he says that they purposely forget. They deliberately forget what God has already done. And the first example of what God's already done is he says, look, God's created everything. Everything was created by him and held together by him. And it says, out of water, from water. And Peter reminds them, look, this is God's universe, and he's going to come in his timing. And just because he hasn't come yet doesn't mean he will not. When I was a young boy, I was probably 10 years old. My grandpa came up to me, and me and my grandpa were always really close. And he came up to me and he said, Noel, if you graduate from high school, and the question wasn't if I would graduate, but if you graduate from high school and you are not addicted to drugs or alcohol, I will give you $1,000. Back then, that was a good chunk of money. That was enough money to buy my first car, actually. And he goes, I'll give you $1,000. And he promised all the grandkids this. And coming into my 10th grade year, I still hadn't been given that money. But I still hadn't graduated yet. And just because my grandpa hadn't given me the money didn't mean that he wasn't going to give me the money. The day on my graduation day, he walked up to me with a stack of $100 bills. And he said, here you go. And my grandpa had made a promise to me. And we can see where God has made a promise that he's going to come for his people. That he's going to come back. And just because he hasn't done it doesn't mean he's not going to. Looking at verse 6, it says, by these same waters also the world at that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same words, present heavens and earth were reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. So here, as we move through, as we look at verses 6 and 7, it says, look, the same waters God acted in creation, he also acted during Noah's flood. And he destroyed. He destroyed the earth. He acted down, and he saw mankind not obeying him. And so Peter's reminding these people and this church that scoffers are going to come in. They're going to say, isn't God going to do this? Isn't God going to do that? And he reminds them, look, God is acting on creation. And he will eventually punish sin the same way that he's done in Noah's time, and in the same way he created. And we'll see at this time in verse 7, we'll see where he will eventually punish by fire, and that will be the end of the world. Looking at verse 8, so we see where the world's response, that's the world's response. We see where people are going to say, he obviously isn't coming back because he hasn't come back yet. And Peter reminds them, God's still acting, and God still has a plan, and God's still here. And then now we see God's plan. Verses 8 through 10, it says, but don't you forget this one thing, my dear friends. A day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord is not slow to keep in his promises as we understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. So now we see this God's plan. And it says first reminder is don't forget, dear friends, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. God operates outside of these time constraints. And God, he's not bound by the same time we're bound by. And he says he's actually not slow as we understand slowness, but his timing is perfect. There's a joke, and it says a man was speaking to God, and he asked God, is it true that a day is like a minute to you, Lord? And God answers and replies back, yes. And he says, is it true that you're also rich and you own a cattle on 1,000 hills? And he says, yes, that's true also. So then if you own a cattle on 1,000 hills, is $1,000,000 kind of like a penny to you, God? And he says, yeah, $1,000,000 is like a penny to me. And he says, can I have a penny, God? And God says, just wait a minute. And we see where God's timing is perfect. He's patient. He's patient with us. In verse 9, it says, the Lord is not slow to keep in his promise as we understand slowness. And as I read that, I said, well, why don't you hurry up then? And is what my thought is. Well, why don't you come now, God? Why don't you come quickly, God? Come on, God. Can't you see how terrible this world is around us? Can't you see that people are hurting? God, why don't you come now? And then I'm reminded, and this passage here should be something that's so near and dear to our heart. It says that God is not wanting for anyone to perish, but for all to come to repentance. So as I think, God, why don't you come? Why don't you come now? I'm reminded that every day that he hasn't come, I have a mission. And every day that he hasn't come, you have a mission. And that's the Great Commission. And because God is not slow, he wants people to come to repentance. He wants people to come to know him. And that should spur us on every day. That should be kind of the wind in our sails, is we're gonna be every day about the Great Commission, about how am I gonna love God and love others better. Because he says that God is not willing for anyone to perish, but all to come to repentance. In verse 10, it says, the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed by fire. And the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. So we see at the end of God's plan, we see where God's waiting. He's not willing for anyone to perish, but all to come to repentance. And then eventually, the time is going to come, and he's going to come like a thief in the night. He's going to come unexpectedly, maybe not in our timing, and he's going to come like a thief in the night. And I don't know if you've ever been... Have you ever been broken into or had someone stolen from you? But when I was a kid, when I was probably, like 12 years old, our house got broken into. And we were at church. What a pretty honorable place to be. We came back from church and our doors were wide open. My mom and I pulled up to the house and the front door's open, the back door's open, and we didn't go in. My mom was smart enough not to have us walk in there. But it would have, and it was tragic, it was heartbreaking. They stole a bunch of stuff. And it would have been a lot nicer if that thief would have called first and said, "Hey, I'm coming." And it would have been a lot nicer if they said, "Hey, if you have anything in there you really want, you should tuck it away so I can't find it." But here he says that God's going to come like a thief in the night. And that should encourage us as Christians to be ready and to live lives that are ready. And it also should encourage us, if we have people in our lives that don't know him, that we spend time teaching them, and we spend time sharing the good news with him, because he will come. He will come, and we will be surprised. And at that point, the earth is going to end. At that point, it's going to be too late. God's plan is eventually he will come for his people in his timing. And us as Christians should be ready. And we need to be ready. And we need to live lives ready. And I love that Peter doesn't leave us there. Peter, he brings us to the point of, this is what the world is going to say, and this is what God's going to do. And then he gives us the application. Peter then says, now this is what you're supposed to do. This is what I want you to do as Christians. And verses 11 through 18, I believe Peter walks us through that. And let's take some time to look at it today. And he says, since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live lives that are holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and the speed of its coming. We'll stop there as we break it down. So Peter gives this application, and he says, "What kind?" And I love that. I love to be practical. I love that that Peter says, "Now this is how you're supposed to live. This is what you're supposed to do." And in verse 11, he says, "Live holy and godly lives." He doesn't say the end of the world is going to come, and so you should store up stuff for yourselves. He doesn't say that the end of the world is going to come, so you should make sure you've tucked away a little nest egg. He says the end of the world is going to come, and you should make sure your lives are holy and godly. Then in verse 12, it says that as you look forward to the day of the Lord and the speed of his coming, in the day that brings about destruction of the heavens with fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But he will keep his promise. His promise is we will be looking forward to the new heaven and the new earth and the righteous, and where righteousness dwells. So then looking in verse 12, he says, you should be looking forward to the day of his coming. So the Christian's response, he says, to live holy and godly lives. And then he says, in that holy and godly life, you should be looking forward to what he's going to do. And this is an actively looking. This is not just someday this is going to happen and I'm just going to keep doing the things that I'm supposed to be doing. This is an actively looking to Jesus. I'm going to walk with him one day at a time, living a holy and godly life, actively looking forward. Verses 13, we see where we look forward, and we look forward to his returning because of his righteousness. Because at that point we will be where righteousness dwells. And we should be about righteous lives here on earth also. We should be Christians and be a people that live righteous lives. Righteousness means right living. And we only live right lives because we follow what God says for us to follow. So for us as Christians, as we look forward to Christ's return, we should be living actively looking to Jesus, actively seeking to live righteous lives. In the early days of the Salvation Army, the founders of the Salvation Army were under great attack by the press. Lots of writings in the newspaper, lots of attacks from other Christian leaders and from other government leaders. And the story goes that the one of the founders, his son, was super concerned about the press that they were getting, the press that they were getting from different government leaders and the backlash they were getting. And the founder looked at his son. He said, 50 years from now, son, it's not going to matter what they say. What's going to matter is how we dealt with the work that God's given us to do. And I think that's so important for us to know and understand that we would be living righteous and holy lives, looking forward to what God is going to do and looking forward to his return. Verse 14, Peter is starting to bring this passage to a close, and he says, "So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless and blameless and at peace with him. Bear in mind that all the Lord's patience means salvation." Just as, and then we'll stop there. So in verse 14, he says, look, you should be looking forward, and you should be living and found blameless and spotless. Peter, in verse 14, he says, "So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this," this is looking forward to the return of Christ, "make every effort to be found spotless and blameless and at peace with him." It says, bear in mind that the Lord's patience means salvation. So as Christians, our Christian response is we should be living lives where we're found blameless, where we're found blameless before God, where we're spotless and we're at peace with him. And this is easy for us to say those words, but we are only found at peace with God. We're only found blameless before God, and we're only found spotless before God because of the work that Jesus Christ did on the cross. And we should praise God for that. We can be found at peace with him because he sent his son to die on the cross. We can be seen as blameless because we're covered by the blood of his son. And we can be found at peace with him because our lives are made right because of his death and his resurrection. And so we should rejoice in these things, but we should also be examining our lives. We should also be looking to see, does my life line up? Am I really living a life that's found spotless and blameless? Am I making every effort to honor him? And it says that, remember, this is in verse 15, remember that the Lord's patience means salvation. So for us as Christians, as people that are desiring to honor him, as we look forward and we're like, God, return, come back for your people, Lord, just in this, we should also rejoice at knowing that every day that we live here means somebody might be able to hear the gospel. Somebody's life might be changed and have an opportunity to repent. Remember, God's patience means salvation, and that means we should be about the gospel. In verse 15, this is the end of verse 15, it says, and it's kind of a poke that Peter does on Paul a little bit. It says, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you, writes with wisdom that God gave, he writes in the same way in all his letters, speaking on the same manners, and these letters contain things that are hard to understand. And I'd have to laugh. I heard one person laugh. And so Peter's writing about Paul, and he's like, okay, Paul writes about these things. He's a good guy. And as you read these things, you might not understand what he says, because sometimes the things that he says, we don't understand. And at first I'm like, well, I guess we don't have to understand him. We can take that avenue. But then I remembered that we should be, and reminded that we should be studying God's word. We should be actively looking into God's word. Peter didn't say that the writings that Paul wrote, you couldn't understand. He said you should make every effort to understand them. Yeah, sometimes they're hard to understand. Guys, sometimes God's word is hard to understand, and we should take the time to study it. We should take the time to let the Spirit work in our lives so we can know and understand what God's telling us, because these are his words to us. That is how we're going to live a holy and blameless life, is by taking the time to understand his words. Peter then also says that some of these false teachers, these arrogant, unstable people, take the words of Paul and other scriptures and distort them. They distort them for their own good, and because they want to be in power. And Peter ends it at that here. He says, look, Christians, live lives that are holy. Live lives looking forward to his coming. Looking forward to the new heaven and the new earth. Looking forward to being made right with him. Looking forward to be truly spotless and blameless. Also looking forward to knowing that every day that we're here, we have a mission. And every day that we're here means that we should be about the gospel. And then he encourages them to study God's word, to really look at God's word. And then Peter ends this here in verse 17. He says, he goes kind of back to Pastor Peter mode here. He says, therefore, dear friends, since you've been forewarned, be on your guard, that you may not be carried away by the errors of the lawless and fall into, the errors of the lawless and fall into your sincere position. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. So Peter then goes back into this kind of Pastor Peter mode. He says, look, dear friends, you've been warned now. Dear friends, you've been warned that scoffers are going to scoff, and that people are going to twist God's word, and also that he will return. Therefore, know and understand that you should be on your guard, that you should be ready. You should be studying his word. You should be living lives that are honorable to him, so that you don't get pulled away, so that you don't get drawn away, but that you can continue to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That should be the ultimate goal as we walk as Christians, is that we continue to grow in grace, and we continue to grow in him, and we grow in knowledge as we know and understand who God is and what his plans are for our lives. Peter then ends it, to him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. Christians, church, Twain Heart Bible Church, I encourage you, as we studied 1 and 2 Peter, that as we end it here, Lord, that we would be on our guard, that we would be a church that would be on our guard, that we would be a church that would be one that would be growing in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we would understand the big picture, and that he's coming and he's returning for his people, that we would look at the pieces and say, God, I trust you. I see the big picture in mind, and I'm going to follow you forever. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Lord, we thank you for your words. Lord, we pray that we would be a people that would live holy lives. Lord, that we would live lives looking forward to your coming. Lord, that we would live lives looking forward to being made right with you. Lord, that we would rejoice in the salvation of others. And Lord, that every day that we're here, we'd be about the gospel. Father, we love you, and we thank you, and we praise you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. You're dismissed.